Fred Film Radio, Sarajevo Film Festival, Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 23rd Sarajevo Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Ron Aviv, who is a famed photojournalist, and Lauren Walsh, who is professor from the New York University. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but first of all, thank you very much for joining us.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
And specifically, we're going to be talking a lot about photography. And you did a talk 2 days ago on this topic. And in particular, you also presented your project, your film that you're collaborating on. That's called Biography of a Photo. That's a great starting point for this interview. Would you like to tell us a little bit about it, first of all?
Sure. As you said, the film is called Biography of a Photo. So one starting point could be to think about the history of photography. So there are a few images throughout the history of this medium that have reached the status of iconic, and there are really very few that have reached that level and are taken by the same photographer. And Ron happens to be a photographer who has two iconic photographs that are at the center of this film, and it's called Biography of a Photo because we decided to make the film not about the photographer but about the impact and influence that photographs themselves can have. So we start at their birth, right, on the day they were taken, and it's structured like a biography, and it kind of looks at the two photos as they grow up over time and the kind of resonances that they have on society. So they filter into society in a number of ways. They move through art, through propaganda, through collective memory, through education, through war crimes trials, truth and reconciliation processes, and we're telling the story of their lives.
Okay. And the follow-up question is kind of, if you'd like to tell me a little bit about the two photographs that you specifically chose.
As a photographer, yes, I can speak a little bit more about them. So the first one is from Panama. It was photographed in 1989. At the time, the country was being run by a dictator named General Manuel Noriega. Noriega decided to hold elections to prove that he was not a dictator, but actually loved by his people. The elections were held. Noriega lost the election. He then canceled the results of the election. And the would-be victors, led by Vice President-elect Guillermo Ford, came out onto the street to start an opposition movement. Ford was beaten up. I managed to take a photograph, which was rather dramatic, of him covered in blood, some of his own and some of his bodyguard who was killed trying to protect him. The photograph went around the world, was on the cover of Time, Newsweek, and U.S. News, the three U.S. news magazines in the same week, plus front pages from different newspapers around the world, and was a bit of a splash, made a bit of an impact. But there wasn't any real movement on the ground in Panama. But 7 months later, the United States decided to invade Panama. And when then U.S. President George H.W. Bush spoke to the nation about the invasion, he actually used the photograph as one of the justifications for the invasion. As far as Lauren and I know, that might be one of the first times that a president has used a photograph to justify military action. And the other photograph was born in Bosnia, in a town called Bielina, 4 days before the official start of the war. I managed to document a Serbian paramilitary group known as the Tigers executing unarmed middle-aged civilians, among the first people to die in the Bosnian War. And the photograph was published also around the world, but this time was completely ignored and had absolutely no impact whatsoever. And over time, as the war became more brutal, the photograph began to stand as a symbol for the violence that occurred here, and not only in Bosnia, but throughout the former Yugoslavia. And eventually the photograph was used in a multitude of different ways, including being used at the International Hague to indict and convict war criminals.
But why did you decide to pick these photographs in particular?
Well, these photographs have had an extraordinary life from their birth, as I've described, to present day. We're talking about with Panama 28 years later and the Bosnia photograph 25 years later. And even today, you can walk onto the streets of Bosnia or Panama and show the photograph to people, and people will immediately have a story about how they're connected to it. Not only that, the photograph over time became incorporated into art, into politics, both local and international, and play a role in education, especially in terms of the truth and reconciliation process. So the photograph has sort of gone off way beyond my initial vision of it, which was to raise awareness. So I put the photograph out there, and once it left me, it really left me and was interacting in all different ways, both photographs. And we noticed, even though we're talking about imagery from different parts of the world, taking a very sort of similar path in its effects.
And how do you feel about that? You took these pictures, and then they're just out there, and they can be used in all sorts of different ways.
Well, for the most part, as long as they're being used correctly, as long as the photographs are not being misrepresented, I think it's fantastic. It's the power of photography. It is the goal of what I want with the work, is to put it out there and for people to then learn from it, teach, use it. That's the whole point of what I'm doing. I don't want my photographs to be sitting in a drawer where nobody's going to see them. So as a photographer, to have... And it wasn't whether even if I agreed with the invasion or not, but for the... to understand that my photograph was playing a role in the process of making decisions, part of the communication process, or at the war crimes tribunal, or other things like that, it's very important. It's a great honor for me as a photographer.
Lauren, I wonder if you could help me try to understand this aspect of photography. I feel like we live in an age where audiovisual content, we're bombarded with it. And I was recently at a festival in Bologna that specifically kind of covers retrospectives and restorations and images from 100 years ago or even more than that. And during an introduction, the director of the festival said that maybe this was a time when these images were rarer, were seen by less people, and they were understood more, or at least we could understand their power. Has that kind of changed nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, just to contextualize the history, there is something to that, right? So the major Western media publications traditionally had quote-unquote gatekeepers, which were the photo editors and just the editors of regular news stories. And collectively, they kind of decided what the public would know and what the public didn't know. So there were maybe fewer stories to encounter, which means that if there are fewer images, then I guess the likelihood is higher that people will see any one given image. So that's the history behind that. Has it changed today? Yeah, sure, because we're all photographers now. We're all taking pictures all the time. What's interesting for us in terms of these two photographs, and to add on to Ron's previous answer, is I think either one of them presents a really interesting history of photography. But when you put the two side by side, you start to realize that iconic photographs lead very special lives, and they follow these really similar patterns. And both of these photos, despite all the quote-unquote noise of imagery today, still seem to exist above the noise, and still seem to be occupying a very, very resonant part of the visual culture in both regions of the world.
You use the term iconic photography. What exactly does that mean? What makes a photograph iconic?
Iconic photos, the shared definition is usually that they're the images that stand the test of time. So they're the images that you go back to again and again. They tend to get separated from the original exact moment of when they were taken and stand for a larger collective moment. So, for instance, Ron's Bielina photograph was taken on April 2nd, 1992. Most people wouldn't know that information about the photo, and they would see it as a representative or the representative symbol of the Bosnian War. So the public, they're widely known photos, and the public shares or attaches a shared meaning to those photos. And they're the photos that they don't stay as simply as works of journalism, as photojournalism, but they move through all these spheres of society that we touched on, right? So the art, the propaganda, the memory, the history, the politics.
Ron, when you look at these pictures today, do you feel any different about them on a personal level? Do you remember yourself when you were taking them, what you were feeling? Do you still think about what was happening during those days?
I for sure can remember the birth of each photograph and the circumstances that surround it. But now, you know, more than a quarter of a century later, having watched the photographs grow up and seeing all the different impact that it's had, and having spoken with many people who have told me what they learned from it, how they changed their mind about something, how they did something in reaction to the photograph, it really does take the experience for me as a personal on a personal level as a photographer to a whole different place.
And of course, in this documentary, as far as I could understand from the talk, you actually do examine the very personal stories that this photography sort of illustrates, and sometimes they're even taken for granted because I guess they become iconic and they're everyone's. So was that a particularly difficult task as a documentary filmmaker to talk to the relatives of people who lost their lives?
I mean, first, just to pick up on what you said, I think you're absolutely right that, like, when a photo becomes iconic, everyone kind of owns a piece of it, right, or has a shared attachment to it. But the reality is there are people who are really intimately affected by the conflict that both these photos depict. Was it tough for us as filmmakers? Both photos are kind of raw in their graphic nature, and they're both attached to pretty tough histories. So, yeah, they were emotional. The subjects, these two characters, of course, are incredibly emotional to this day, 25 and 27 years later, and using the photographs to obtain justice. And so you can't, as a filmmaker, work on this and not feel for the subjects as well.
Of course, I'm very interested in the photography and film relationship. So obviously, film movement, you know, we all know the simple differences that are quite obvious. But I'm also wondering as well, as a first-time filmmaker, that this is your first film, what made you decide to kind of make a film about a photography, and how has it been so far?
Well, I think, you know, there are many, many great things about the still photograph, but there are also many limitations. When you have the ability for the right subject to combine the image with audio, with movement, and so on, it takes it to a different place. And so Lauren and I are telling these stories of these two photographs, and we are able to, through the beauty of filmmaking, bring in all these different voices, their stories, listening to them, experiencing their lives in a way that wouldn't be experienced the same way as, let's say, a photo essay with still photographs. I think that this particular story is made perfectly for film.
I would just add that, I really deeply love photography. So even when you were saying before about the age of image saturation and the noise, I still think photographs are incredibly powerful. But at the same time, as Ron was saying, the limitations, right? So a photograph is a frozen moment, and we want to tell a story that occurs over a broad period of time. So the cinematic form is a way of animating the photo's life.
That's very interesting. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and I wish you all the best with the biography of a photo.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.